welcome back to another episode of Jonah and Ben Play Board Games with Friends. I am Jonah, joined as always by my co-host Ben.
Hello, hello.
And today we are going to do a little Kickstarter mini special. But before we get to that, Ben, what have you been up to lately?
Honestly, with the snowman, not really much.
The snowman? Did he attack you?
Almost. So when we got all of the snow, what happened was, so where I live, they're supposed to come and shovel most of, like, the public walkways, and that includes, like, the little walkways in front of our doors.
Right, we should tell everyone, all of the snow, we got a little over 2 feet of snow, I'd say, right?
Yeah, had to be.
Yeah.
And the snow was just coming down so fast that they, obviously, it didn't really make sense to come out and shovel in the middle of the snowstorm. So everything piled up, and my front door was blocked shut, and I didn't know how to get out to do anything. And then I realized that my back door is a sliding glass door. So I didn't have any boots or anything because I wasn't planning on going out and doing any work in the snow. But I wrapped some garbage bags around my feet.
Oh, the classic method.
And I opened the sliding glass door in the back, and I walked through, like, probably mid-shin depth snow around the back of this whole townhouse strip out to the front, and then shoveled my front walkway and at least enough for me to open my front door. And also about three steps into my trek, the garbage bags got sucked into the abyss that was the snow. So they were gone. But, you know, luckily I was smart enough to at least choose my waterproof and or resistant disc golf shoes.
Smart.
So my feet were okay. I didn't lose anything to frostbite or anything like that. But yeah, I almost, so essentially if you count all of that snow as the snowman, I got attacked by the snowman, but it wasn't too bad, I guess. I shoveled myself out, got to hang in for a little while. There was a lot of juggling of cars because when all the snow comes down, they come around with like bulldozers and stuff to clear the parking lot.
Right.
And it's tough because everybody's like racing to the open guest spots to try and move their cars so that they can bulldoze your spot. And I got semi told off by an older woman who I guess I parked in her private spot. And this is where I was like iffy on this whole situation. The snow was, by the time I had moved my car, it was right after I had shoveled out my front door, and they did like a really quick pass with the bulldozer.
Mm-hmm.
So the snow was still coming down, and there was like still a foot and three quarters of snow on the ground. And I moved my car into this spot that's covered in snow, but like they pushed some snow out of the way because the bulldozer came through. And it was like the middle of the day. So I moved my car over there and then I left it overnight because I assumed the bulldozer was going to clear out my spot, but they didn't. So I couldn't get back to my car and then back into the spot. Then the next morning, this older woman comes out and she's like, "Sir, you know you're in my spot, right?" And in my head, I'm thinking, well, why wasn't your car in your, like, you had clearly moved your car somewhere before the snow even started. So what, like, why are you getting mad at me for it? But I'm just like, I just was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't know," and just took it like that because I didn't want to get into a fight. But I was like, why was your car completely gone then? It wasn't even there.
Best to play it nice, as always.
Yep, but eventually they did clear all of the snow, and let me check. There's a tiny bit of like ice underneath. Well, not anymore because it was a little warm yesterday, but there was a tiny bit of ice under my car wheel because they didn't scrape all the snow up, but it is good. And I am good now. And I know you had a much more fun time in the snow, Jonah.
Oh, yeah. With property management, I had to follow a snowplow around to all these different buildings we have. And I think I drove 10 different cars on Wednesday because tenants just didn't want to get out of their apartment and said, here's my keys, move my car. And one of these keychains had a interesting black cylinder on it that was like my best description of it is think an umbrella handle. So, you know, some like grooves for your fingers. It's about the size of your hand. So I put it in my hand and I looked at it and I quickly figured out that it was pepper spray. So luckily I didn't squeeze the top, but that was fun.
I find it wild that people ask you to move their cars.
People didn't want to... Well, this particular woman had two young kids that she had to watch, so it made sense that she didn't want to drag her kids into her car and drive around the street and then come back. But tons of other tenants just didn't want to do anything. So I was kind enough to drive their cars for them. And then when we went back to the office, I had to drive, so my car was parked there because I was driving the work truck, and there are two work trucks. So we got back to the office, I parked my car at Bank of America next door, then walked back, drove the black truck over there, then walked back, then drove the red truck over there, then walked back, then drove the secretary's car over there because she was busy, then they plowed. So a lot of driving of other cars, a lot of shoveling, way too much shoveling. And, you know, it's funny. I'm taking the next week off of work, and I'm thrilled. But I looked at the weather, and it looks like we're getting a winter storm tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
But I don't have to deal with it. And I'm excited for that.
But you are going to have to deal with another Tom Brady Super Bowl win, probably.
I don't think he's going to win. I think...
I know nothing about football, so I'm just saying that. But to be honest, Super Bowl Sunday. Hope they don't...
Best day of the year.
Yeah, to be honest, I hope they don't win solely because I don't feel like seeing Tampa get another outbreak of COVID from all the idiots that are going to party down there when my parents live down there. So I hope they lose. But regardless, they're still hosting the Super Bowl in Tampa. So
yeah, it's pretty wild.
Still, I was surprised to see that this is the first home Super Bowl game ever. Like, for
it's
some
not
reason,
often
I thought
that happens. AKA, it has never happened before.
I don't know why I thought that, like, when the Giants were in it, it was in MetLife.
Mm-mm.
But
I think it was in MetLife the year after or the year before.
Very interesting, either way. But
yeah, I mean, if it weren't for COVID, it would be really cool that a team is fortunate enough to have a home Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty crazy to have happen. So, maybe not so when you have Tom Brady. But anyway, board games, Ben. What have you played this past week?
Yeah. The only thing I played this past week was I play-tested the game of a friend of a friend called Union City Alliance Heroes Unite. I have mistakenly been calling it Union City Heroes every single time I've mentioned it. But... it's a cooperative deck building game where you play as superheroes that you choose at the beginning of the match, and you are kind of exploring the city by building out city tiles on this map, and you are kind of running around completing challenges, and bad guys will come out onto the map that you'll have to fight, but you get resources like other deck builders via the resources that are on the cards that you play. So you'll play your cards, gain the resources, do your actions, draw back up to a hand of five, although other cards might force you over five. There's no hand limit. It's just you draw back to five if you don't already have five cards in your hand. And then you have to deal with the threats of the enemies. And then following that, there's a stage peril deck, which is dependent on what supervillain you're fighting. It's kind of like the story of the supervillain. So the game was Rich and myself. It was the two of us playing, and
Is it only a two-player game?
no, it goes up to, I believe it goes up to four. And it was just the two of us in this game. Greg did come in and spectate for maybe like a half hour, 45 minutes, before ducking out while we were playing. And the creator of the game was observing the game the whole time as well. So we were able to ask like a couple questions if we had some issues that came up. But for the most part, once we got past the initial setup and like a couple of rounds, it ran pretty smoothly. I did have some notes that I took while I was playing. And the biggest negative for me was the lack of a big like boss fight. So we were superheroes. So Rich was playing as, I think her name was Sunbeam, something with the sun. So she was like a support slash attack character. So each of the heroes has like their own skill that they're like better at. And I was playing as Odysseus, who was a speed based character. So I was like running around exploring the map. And Rich was attacking people and also, you know, sending various tokens my way that helped me. And we were fighting against the Pteranodon, which is a mobster dinosaur. Which was really neat. I thought that there was, like, a lot of personality in the enemies. Like, for example, one of, like, the underbosses was a T-Rex. And when the T-Rex came out, it had one of the little like things on its card was that it does half damage to you because it's got little arms, so it can't like reach you, which I thought was pretty funny. And then each of like these underbosses had like special effects based on what kind of dinosaur they were, which I thought was neat. But the disappointment was that we never actually fought or saw the Pteranodon as like the main supervillain, because the goal of the game changes based on what enemy you choose to fight against. And in the case of the Pteranodon, you only need to defeat two underbosses. Well, number of players plus one, so three, in our case. So we never saw the Pteranodon, we never fought the Pteranodon, so it was, I thought it was a little disappointing that there was no actual like super villain fight, especially if you are trying to stop the super villain. Seems weird that they would stop when two of their underlings get whooped, but I mean,
right,
that was just one of the notes that I made. And the only other thing that was a little off to me was how difficult it was to actually get new cards. So the way that most deck builders work is you have like a market of cards. But in this game, when you explore a city tile, there are setup rules on each tile. So you'll put out cards onto the city tile, and you'll need to be on that space in the city in order to get those cards via using resources. But it's difficult because if you don't have the speed to run around the city, you can't really get as many cards. So my guy was able to really scoop up cards because I was able to run around and kind of do what I wanted. And Rich's character was a bit slower and couldn't move so much. So Rich was getting cards that he was using in a combo to get other cards, like via that card effect, instead of being able to really select from like the market that they created in this game. But overall, the game was fun. I had a good time playing it. Unfortunately for me, this game really just felt like a deck building version of Street Masters, which I don't know if I've mentioned Street Masters on here before, but Street Masters is a miniatures cooperative beat-em-up style game. But it's very similar in that you choose a hero, you get their deck. You choose an enemy, you get their deck. You choose a stage, you have a stage deck. And then you mix all of this stuff together, and it's like, they actually call it the modular deck system, the people who create Street Masters. And I'm a little worried that this game, which is supposedly coming to Kickstarter soon, is going to be overlooked because the people who created because the similarities and because the people who created Street Masters recently released a game called Hour of Need, which is a superhero retheme of Street Masters. And they're established developers. They've developed board games for Fantasy Flight Games before and stuff like that. So I'm a little worried for these creators that the game might be overlooked because of the similarities, but I had a good time. And, you know, if the price point is right and there's like a base box, I might pick it up to play it at some point in the future. But that was all I played this week. But it was fun to play test the game because I know we had talked about it last time.
Right, with Sean, because I had playtested his game the previous week.
Yep, and this one was pretty well into the beta stage, I would say. Like, the artwork was almost all done. The rulebook was, to be honest, way too cluttered. But you know I'm not a rulebook guy anyway, so it was rough for me to read that rulebook. But yeah, I mean, it was neat to playtest a game because I have never really done it before. The closest I've gotten was print and play games that are already pretty much finished and just kind of using them until the game comes in. So it was neat. I really liked it, like the experience. So that's what I did this week. What about you? Cool.
I did not have any time. I did not play a single board game all week. I think I mentioned to you earlier, I worked 11 hours on Monday, 10 on Tuesday, like 9.5 on Wednesday. So yeah, I was just too drained at the end of each day to do anything. And also Monday, my 11 hours was not an ideal grouping of hours. How am I trying to say this? So I worked from like 7 to 1, and then I had some time off, and then I worked from like 6 to 11 or 7 to 11. I don't know the math, but I know it was 11 hours, and I had a big block at the end of the day. So even when I was at home, I was just dreading going back out again and driving around until late at night. So anyway, didn't get to play anything this week. That's fine. I have work off next week and will hopefully be playing a lot of board games. Speaking of which, Nick is free on Monday if you'd like to play something during the day, Ben.
I think I am now free Monday. I originally had an RPG scheduled, but we've moved during the day. Oh, it's during... Well, no, then I'm fine. I'm usually fine during the day regardless, so...
That's right. Getting some day gaming next week.
All right. Works for me.
Why enjoy the outdoors when you can enjoy the indoors?
Well, there's not much of the outdoors to enjoy right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow.
Yeah. So, I'm down to do that. Look at that. Everybody gets a little behind the scenes into how we plan our board gaming.
That's right. But since you were talking about this game that's coming to Kickstarter.
Yep.
Why don't we pivot to our little Kickstarter episode, Ben?
Sure.
What do you have coming? What are you looking forward to backing? And maybe even, what are some of your favorite Kickstarter games you've received?
Yeah, sure.
And maybe it's least been favorite a while. Too. Who knows?
It's been a while since we've done this because, you know, even though I'm unemployed, I seem to not care all that much, and I still backed a couple of games here and there. Definitely not as many as I used to, which, I mean, is something that I would say is a good thing. I'm being a little more picky, to the point where I'm even doing or attempting to do another Try Before You Buy on this game that I'm going to talk about, which is Endless Winter Paleo Americans. I believe I've mentioned this briefly before because it has the same artist who worked on Raiders of the North Sea, the Miko, and it is a worker placement style board game that takes place in like the Ice Age type period of North America, and you're developing a tribe across various generations. So you're moving from, like, the hunter-gatherer phase into, like, tribal societies. So you're going to, like, migrate and settle into new lands. So there's, like, a hex map that's randomized at the beginning of the game. You're going to go out and, like, hunt various animals. And you're going to be like building structures in your like city area. And obviously the art of this one drew me in because I like the Miko's art style to begin with. But the game looks like a fun little worker placement style game that I am interested in trying out. And as I said, I'm trying to do a try before you buy style playthrough of this because they did put the game out on Tabletop Simulator. So I'm trying to gather people to play it with me. So hopefully I can get some people rounded up and give this one a shot because it's not the game in the world. I will say personally, I hate when, I mean, I can't help it, but I hate when games are not in dollars and they're in euros or British pounds, because I always know that it's just going to cost more money for me. And this one is in euros. So even the $50 game is really $60, or the 50 euro game is $60, which is a pain. And
is it shipping from Europe as well? Like, does that factor into this price?
I believe it is. So I went through the pledge manager because the pledge manager is open, and the all in shipping cost to the United States is about $20, which, I mean, it's not terrible for an all in, but it's not, you know, it's not fantastic.
That's steep on a $60 game.
Well, that's the all-in is $120. So It kind of doubles in size. I haven't checked the non-all-in. And to be honest, I don't even know if I'd want to go all-in on this, because it seems like this is one of those games where it does look like they just kind of tossed modules at the game to add stuff. Like, one of them is literally called the Cave Drawing Expansion, and it looks like you're trying to, like, you know in Captain Sonar, where you have to like draw within the lines to like get back into the game?
Yes.
It literally looks like you're trying to do that on like a little whiteboard that they made look like caves, and you have to like draw something to get back it. Like, it's a $20 add-on, and I don't really understand. It's like, why am I drawing something on this whiteboard? But you're literally, there's like resources that are on the map, and I guess if you draw correctly, you gain resources. It's a little weird. So like, I don't even know if I want the all-in or not. I was just looking at the worst-case scenario in terms of cost. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I might not even like the game.
When's your deadline for having to try it?
Well, the pledge manager just opened, and let me see, because I think, let's see. They said a couple of months, so it's not like I'm in any rush to do it. It's not like Veiled Fate, where there was a benefit to backing the full game before the Kickstarter ended. So I was in on a dollar for this, so I'm in no rush, but Veiled Fate, I needed to pledge for at least like a game level to get any benefit. So that one I had a rush on. But yeah, that's the first one. I'm excited to try it though, because I've said multiple times, art styles draw me in, and this one has a neat one, and I've been interested in that. Is there anything you've backed recently, or is it mostly just stuff you're waiting on
at this point? I am really just waiting on things. I mentioned a few weeks ago that one of my goals for this year is not to buy more than three games, to buy at most three games.
Yep.
And that is including Kickstarters. And yeah, I have been looking at Kickstarter. I haven't been ignoring it because I trust my self-control, I guess I should say here. But yeah, nothing's really sticking out to me. I don't know. I feel like I have all these games that I'd love to play that I can't play because of COVID. So if and when the quarantine, lockdown, social distancing ends, I'm probably just going to want to dive into all the games I already have. So yeah, I have not backed anything lately. I don't plan on backing anything too soon, but I'll talk briefly about a game I mentioned before that I'm waiting on. Also, side note, the Lucky Duck Dice should be shipped over soon. Ooh. We talked about them before, I think. It's just a set of dice that have little rubber duckies in them. Frivolous purchase, yes, but so be it.
Fun, frivolous purchase.
Exactly. And hopefully the bathtub that they come in will arrive alive. I don't know if you saw that she posted that a few of them are arriving damaged. They're these little acrylic bathtubs for your little rubber ducky dice to sit in. It's all so foolish. But waiting on that, that'll be fun. And then actual game-wise, Public Market. I mentioned before, Public Market is this game about fishing, I think, in the Pacific Northwest. I don't really think the location matters. It's just fishing in a harbor, or fishing and bringing the fish back to the harbor. But it has a few really interesting things in it. It has polyominoes, which we've mentioned before, the Tetris-shaped pieces that you arrange on a board to cover up certain spots and get certain rewards, or just trying to fit all of them into your limited space, which can be difficult with the different shapes. And these are polyomino shapes that I have not seen before. That's always fun. Instead of just the standard Tetris shapes, I really like that people are trying to come up with new Tetris-like shapes. I mean, the entire genre of polyominoes, I think, can just be referred to as Tetris-like shapes. But that being said, it's cool to see, you know, longer, jankier pieces and strange pieces. So that's fun. I have no idea how you go about balancing the shapes involved in a polyomino game. It is way above my mental capacity, but I'm looking forward to that arriving. It has the contract fulfillment in it that I've talked about with Clans and Terra Mystica. That's so fun. And then there is a bit of engine building as well. So we have talked about Space Base before, and one of the things in Space Base is your economy, and your economy is how much money you can spend. And one thing that's really neat about your economy, and also something else that I forget about, you have three little tracks down there, but your economy is money you can spend, and you can upgrade your economy, which means when you spend your money, you go back down to that amount. So if your economy is at 10 and you have 20 bucks, you can spend that $20 and then your economy only goes back down to 10. So it's really nice to build your engine of money. Anyway, in Public Market, it utilizes that method with fishing. So you have all these contracts that you want to fill, and you have to go out and catch some fish, but you can build this engine such that you will always come back with a certain number of fish. And I think that's really neat. So, yeah, Public Market has some cool stuff in it, and I'm looking forward to it showing up.
I mean, that mechanic also makes sense, though, because when you think about it, if you're going fishing, if you're set up well enough and you know the spots well enough, you're pretty much always going to catch, like, something, even if it's, you know, small and not right. What you really want, but you'll always have something.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And there's a bit of turn order manipulation, which is interesting. I haven't looked into it too much, or at least I haven't looked into it for a while. But the turn order, I think first player gets to choose which row of polyomino tiles you choose from, so you get to know what you might be grabbing and where you might fit it in your little ice chest. So, looks neat. Looking forward to trying it someday.
I would join you. Wonderful. You know, assuming we can, but yes. Let's see. I'm looking through my whole list of things that are incoming. One that's a bit of a surprise to me, I guess you could say. So I late backed the Steampunk Rally Fusion.
Mm-hmm. What's that about?
That is an engine builder as well, but the new version is these aliens have... It's a weird story, to be honest. I watched the video. These aliens from Mars, because they're always from Mars, have come to Earth, and instead of fighting, the world's greatest inventors have decided to prove the Earth's value by racing these ridiculous machines that they've built, from what I could gather.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the Rick and Morty episode where the big head is like, show me what you've got. And like the whole thing is like a singing competition.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a racing competition. But the Fusion, which is the new expansion, you can actually like race on Mars, as opposed to just racing through like locations on Earth. But I did the Atomic Box, which is both games in one box, which is neat. But because I late-backed it, I don't get all of the updates as quickly as the updates are put out. So I didn't actually realize that the United States of America is still ahead of schedule and hoping to begin fulfillment as of February 15th, or possibly even earlier. So that's like a week away.
That's really
which is really exciting. Yeah. So, you know, I've seen and heard that this game is not super difficult to play or teach, as far as engine builders go, so I'm excited to try this one out. And I know that Roxley, who makes this game, always puts out a well-done, maybe not a well-done game, depending on who you are, because I know you don't like brass, but that wasn't their design, which is fine. But they always put out a well-produced game.
Speaking of Roxley.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this next.
Why don't you tell us about Radlands?
Yeah, so I've also backed Radlands, which is a two-player post-apocalyptic or mid-apocalyptic card battle game. And it's got this really cool like neon punk art style. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like a comic book art style where it's using very like neon pastel colors. And it's all about managing your resources and activating card abilities to destroy your opponent's camp. So your resources are water, because water in the apocalypse is very important. So you have to manage your water supply while you actually have to spend that water to activate character abilities. So it's a little bit of resource management on top of the battle abilities. But it looks like a fun two-player card game that for someone like me who's never really been great at learning or teaching card battle games like Magic, etc., this one kind of feels like something that I could play based on everything I've seen, because it looks like they did a good job writing out on the cards what everything actually does, which is nice. But it's got, if you haven't yet, I would recommend checking out the Kickstarter video. It's a very neat Kickstarter video as well. It's got some really cool music, and it does tell the story pretty well of what's going on in the game. But, yeah, they, speaking of Roxley and how they have a well-produced Kickstarter, depending on what pledge level you get, there are stitched edge playmats. The cards, no matter what, are all made of like a PVC plastic.
And how did they describe those cards? What was their magic word vomit they threw on there?
Yeah. So this part I thought was a little ridiculous, especially because Chip Theory Games has had PVC cards for years now. And it's funny to see everyone in the comments pulling a, like, similar to how Android will have some feature and then Apple will introduce it and people think Apple invented it. Everyone in the comments thinks that Roxley, like, invented plastic cards. Let me find it, because it... Synth Resilient Cards. All cards in Radlands Deluxe Edition are printed on Synth trademark card stock. Synth is a custom manufactured PVC based stock which can be bent end to end. It's also water and spill proof. So people thought that they invented plastic cards, but again, Chip Theory has had cards like this for years. But it is nice because it's a game I don't need to sleeve, which always feels good.
Wait, where's their sentence that basically says the cards feel cool when you touch them? That's the one I'm after. They were saying like
What?
jeez. I'll search for it. You continue.
Okay. No, I'm interested in hearing that because I haven't seen that unless it's in their facts. Yeah, I mean, the game looks neat. It looks like it's a style of game I don't own, which is always a good thing to look for me at least, because it does fill a, I wouldn't say a hole in my collection, but it fills a space in my collection that I do not have. I mean, I don't think that my collection is suffering without a game like this, but it's nice to not pick up like another of a similar mechanic. So, I'm looking forward to it. And I have backed it. So, yep.
All right, what else are you waiting for?
The big one is still, I mean, literally the big one is still Madara, Wave 1. Unfortunately, and I was telling Jonah before we started recording, the issue that has come up this year, last year it was COVID delays. This year it is a shortage of shipping containers. So many of the fulfilling games that I have on my Kickstarter backings are stuck in shipping limbo because there are not enough containers to send them out from China to their respective delivery locations. So, since November, according to the update, Madara Wave 1 has been stuck in port waiting on open shipping containers. Australia has received the games, so they originally what they were trying to do was like hold off and send the games to everyone at the same time, which I respect when companies attempt to do that, but I'm also not too pressed when they decide, hey, let's just get it in the hands of backers, because I'd rather see backers, you know, get their games as opposed to everybody waiting like 3 months for the last country to get their game. So this time around, Australia is the first, which is very backwards from almost every other Kickstarter you'll ever see. So Australians are very happy right now. But again, Wave 1 is just a reprint of the scenario book and some resin figures. So it doesn't have any bearing on me playing the copy I already have, aside from the fact that I want to wait until I have a professionally edited storybook to use, because I think it would improve the gameplay if it's like something that's been professionally edited. So I'm holding off on starting a campaign, whether I do it solo or try and get my brother or my girlfriend to play with me, something like that. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to that one quite a bit because everything about that game speaks to me, even though I haven't played it yet because I'm waiting for a group of people to play it with. Then the next most recent update that I got was actually a surprise out of nowhere update. It's always nice when you get an update from a campaign that's been silent for a while. And this one is Burgle Bros 2.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so let me find
Tim
it. Burgle
Fowers.
Bros 2. Yeah. So what's interesting is this game has actually shipped, not to backers yet, but it is on the boats. But the US shipment was split amongst two containers, so and two ships. So one container has Burgle Bros 2 plus playmats, and that is due to arrive in port on February 20th.
It's around your birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, my birthday is February 19th. I'm very excited. Oh, speaking of, another behind the scenes planning event for people who are listening. Jonah, we're trying to, some of my friends and I are trying to scrounge up an Among Us game on February 20th, like a birthday Among Us game, if you'd like to join. I don't know if you've played or have the game, but if you'd like to join, we're trying to play.
All right.
So, and the second container contains Burgle Bros 2 plus the minis, which you know me. So that one is set to arrive in port late February, which is a funny, it's funny wording to me because February 20th to 28th is the end of February. So, but basically what they're saying is that for the US, if you have minis in your pledge, there's probably gonna be like a 2 week, 1 to 2 week delay on the start of shipment there. But it's nice. I don't mind when companies go radio silent for a bit if they come back and have concrete info on where the game has been going.
And on the other side of the spectrum, we have Blood on the Clock Tower.
Yes.
Which is radio silent for a month and a half, and then comes back and says, we've made some progress on some things, it's still never going to be delivered, but stick with us.
Yeah. That whole campaign is interesting to me, because when you come out with a video from one of the most popular game reviewers saying, this is my favorite game of all time, and you haven't even started your campaign yet, and now you're delaying your campaign constantly.
Yeah.
It's rough, because people really get on the hype train from videos like that. Like, to me, that felt like a video that should have come out not mid fulfillment, but like while they were attempting to, like, after the campaign ended, while they were producing the game. But I understand why they released that video prior to the campaign, because obviously it built up the hype for it.
Right. Got them more money.
Yeah. But just in terms of, like, feel, that felt like a video to me that should have been done later in the timeline to, like, keep the hype going, I guess. But I don't know. I don't design or sell board games on Kickstarter. I'm just one of those people that backs them. So.
Right. I think I'm going to end up having to update my address on that to wherever we end up next. So,
most likely.
Hopefully it is delayed enough that I will have an address.
Yep, that's true. I still owe Patrick some money for that one. So, I'll get him that money. Problem is, I never carry cash, so it's hard to pay him.
And you don't see anyone.
Yeah, that too. Let's see. What's next on my list? Another soon-to-be-delivered game, which is great. I love when this happens. Millennium Blades Collusion.
Ooh.
The expansion.
Why don't you tell us all what that game is about?
Yeah, so that is a game about being a collectible card gamer. So it's literally like there's a phase where you're building your card decks, and then there's a phase where you're playing in like a card battle tournament, but the whole thing is like, I wouldn't say, I guess it's kind of like a parody on being like a Magic the Gathering player. So you can make trades with other players to build your deck up, but you can do like a little bit of set collection within the game to increase the power of various cards, and you get points for winning card battles and building up points that way. The one thing that I will say about this game is I feel like it is one of those games that's difficult to get to the table to play, just because there's a lot of setup involved because of how many cards there are in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do like, and I like this about other games as well, like We're Doomed, for example, because there are timers involved in the game, for the most part, the game has a set runtime, which I found that I kind of enjoy, because you can plan around that. So even though the game is hard to kind of get set up and plan to play, you can pretty much bet on it being like an hour and a half to maybe like an hour and 45 minutes, because there's an hour's worth of meat in terms of like the timers to like the deck building part, and then the actual battles only take like 10 minutes apiece. So you can kind of plan around that, which is pretty nice. But Collusion, just because it's fun to tell you how much extra stuff gets added, Millennium Blades Collusion is adding 400 new cards and a new play mode. So it's adding an extra 50% to the base game.
Jeez.
Which is going to be fun. But what I'm interested in and what I'm excited for is it's going to add like neoprene playmats in place of all of those really thin, like super flimsy playmats that we had used. But I like that they have what's called crossover sets. So it's actually kind of wild. When you buy this game, you're buying the base box, which has all these cards. But then just like a collectible card game, you're buying booster decks in like the expansions are in the form of booster decks. So it's funny because some games that we've mentioned in the past are in some of these booster decks as crossovers. So we talked about Doomtown Reloaded last week with Sean. Doomtown Reloaded has a promotional pack booster deck that's going to be in this.
Cool.
Which I'm interested in seeing because I think the art in this game is fantastic and they have like really good satirical cards in it as well. So like they inject a lot of comedy into like the cards. Roxley Games also makes Dice Throne, and there's a Dice Throne set. There's a Burgle Bros set. There's a Madara set. And there's a Street Masters set.
Oh, wow.
So, like, there's a lot of promotional crossover sets that are coming to me for games that I own, which is neat. So I'm interested to see how they incorporate those into the game. But, yeah, I think if I had to pick a favorite thing about this game, it's going to be so shallow. My favorite thing about this game is the money stacks, because you literally bundle together stacks of paper money with, like, banker's tape, but it's still only worth that dollar amount. So you'll stack together like 10 $1 bills just so you can throw down like a stack of $1 bills, but it's only worth $1.
It's great for immersion into the environment. Yeah,
I just think it's a fun little addition to the game. So that is one that's coming in really soon, and I'm excited to try that game again. Because I did have fun the first time, but it's going to be fun to add some new stuff. And again, sleeving is a zen experience for me, so that'll be fun too.
Plenty of cards to sleeve with that.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
All right, let's talk about some Kickstarter winners.
Yeah, sure.
What are some things you've gotten from Kickstarter that have been winners game-wise and also winners... like production wise, like really hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Winners, I'll start with winners game wise because that's the easiest for me to talk about. But the most recent one is Trickshot, for sure. Trickshot is an absolute win in my book. It's a simple game, but it is a pretty good translation of hockey into the board game world. And I am a huge hockey fan, so I am very happy with it. What about you?
I'm just pulling up my Kickstarter now. I have a lot fewer backed projects than you.
Yeah.
But I will say that Shipwreck Arcana, I don't know how to say it, is definitely a win. That's a great little cooperative card game. That's like tarot card-sized cards. Yeah, that's really great, and it was a great price point as well. Another winner is QE. QE is the bidding game that we talked about a bit ago, that you know, everyone has an infinite amount of money, but whoever spends the most money at the end of the game is automatically disqualified from winning. So yeah, that is quite a fun game. Glad that I got that. Gugong, initially wasn't a big fan of when we played it at PAX, but I quickly learned that that was because that was the five player experience. And it is actually quite good and quick at the lower player counts with people who have played it before. Like a 2 or 3 player game takes an hour, which is really good.
And Gugong was going to be on my list of production as well. That absolutely knocks it out of the park in terms of production value. And just, I'll add really quick, pretty much anything that has come from Game Brewer so far has been knocked out of the park production-wise. Fujikoro, I only played at PAX, so I haven't played a full game at home yet, but the production value of that game is insane as well. So, Game Brewer, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, so Game Brewer for production value as well. And that's really... that's really it for the games that I've gotten. I got a game called Karmica that was only okay. It looked really neat, had really great art, but there wasn't enough substance to the game for me, so I got rid of that. Evolution Climate I quite liked as well. That's a good twist on base evolution that adds, of course, a climate aspect to the game. Thought that was pretty good, but ended up trading it for something else. And then Secret Hitler, I never played, but I sold for a lot more than I got it for. So that's a win in my book.
For sure. And also for you, I mean, Secret Hitler, you're definitely more into like Blood on the Clock Tower. Like, I don't think right. Secret Hitler would be a game you would prefer over that. So making that money back was a solid deal.
Yeah, Blood on the Clock Tower is going to be fantastic when it arrives. We've already played it a bunch of times with Patrick's print and play.
Yep.
You know, a year and a half ago now, but
I want to play it again.
But yeah, me too. I see all these people playing it on Discord, and I just have no interest in playing a social deduction game on Discord. Especially because you only have, like, one voice channel. Or if people move to a different voice channel,
it's obvious.
Super suspicious.
Well, I mean, I guess if you think about it, moving to a different voice channel is, like, pretty much the same as when I would, like, pull Patrick to another room and start
but
whispering to him.
But someone can sneakily walk by for that.
That's true.
You can't sneakily walk through the separate voice channel.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like I would try it just to play it and see if it works, but I don't want to play with strangers, so I don't really feel like trying to jump into like a random game that people make online.
Right. I also like the social aspect. So yep. Just having 10 different voices online. I don't know. Maybe with video, but it doesn't sound like my cup of tea.
Yep. Let's see. Kickstarter wins for me.
What's a Kickstarter loss? That's what I want to hear about, Ben.
Okay.
What showed up that you did not like? And this could be production
Blades.
Or gameplay.
I think gameplay-wise, Tidal Blades is probably the most high-profile Kickstarter loss for me. Although, close, it probably is closely tied with Nemesis in terms of gameplay wise. Both of them have fantastic production, but Nemesis just kind of built up a lot but didn't have like a great payoff. And Tidal Blades, I know I mentioned quite a bit, but for how overproduced it was, it just didn't have much substance to the game itself. But luckily both of those games are in very high demand and I was able to sell them both with almost zero issues. I mean, I literally sold Tidal Blades like an hour and a half after I listed it online. And Nemesis, I sold in a combo pack with Lords of Hellas, which is another game from Awaken Realms. I think those two experiences have taught me not to back Awaken Realms games. They seem to be all style, no substance, at least for me. Although, apparently, Tainted Grail is quite good, but I don't feel like spending the money that Awaken Realms charges for half of these things anymore. Another one, which is very much less known, it was this little game called Dare to Dream, and it was like a small box game that was created by like a first-time developer on Kickstarter. And you basically are you're like going through like a dream state and you're trying to, you actually like move through like dream states and try and kind of like wake up the person. So it's not like a nightmare. It's kind of, you're trying to like get through this before like this timer runs out and you're in like full nightmare mode. I don't really know because I never actually played the game because my game came in like half demolished. And after 5 months of attempting to contact the company and getting zero response, I just threw the game out. So that was I didn't get to play the game, so I don't know how it is gameplay-wise, but the actual just experience of the Kickstarter was a big loss for me. Also, I bought the playmats that were supposed to come with the game, and they weren't playmats. They were literally, you know the material, that like vinyl material that banners are printed on? It was printed on that. So it's like, wasn't a playmat. It was like this really weird, like tacky vinyl.
Like a weird little flag, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, this is not a playmat. And they were charging like they charged like almost as much as the game for the playmat set. And I was like, okay, no, this is a no for me. So it was just a bad experience all around.
Speaking of interesting playmats, what's the status on Seize the Bean?
Ah, yes. Let me pull it up really quickly. Seize the Bean, the last I saw, they did meet their own personal deadline to submit game material to the printer. So they are, as of January 15th, no delays in production. Obviously, there are delays in the campaign at this point, but no delays in production itself. On March 15th, they're going to get the final like copy of the game sent to them. And then they're anticipating shipment mid-April, like shipment on the boats. So that is the latest update from Seize the Bean,
Which was
but they are
supposed to be
now
delivered in.
well supposed to be delivered in is a big difference. It was supposed to be delivered in September 2018. However, we were at PAX in November of 2018, and he told us July of 2019 was
And it is
more
currently
realistic.
Feb 2021.
Yep. So they are way behind, but it also it's rough. First time creator, and there are like 450 plus cards in this game. So like
There's a
everything
lot.
is there's a lot. But at the same time, when we played the game, it felt like it was almost done.
Just like Blood on the Clock Tower.
Yeah. Which is nuts. Like these games, some of these games feel like they're almost done, and then you get these creators who just tweak and tweak and tweak and tweak.
You know what they
And
say, perfect is the enemy of good.
yep. So it's tough. I mean, I'm still in on it because I thought the game was fun and I want to see it through at this point. But oh boy, it has been a process. And I'm not even an original backer. Imagine if I backed this game. Let's see. When was the actual funding period? Let me figure that out. The actual funding period was January 16th to February 15th, 2018. Like, imagine if I
Oh
actually
man.
backed the game. I saved like a year off of disappointment by doing this late pledge. So, pretty crazy. But yep. Seize the Bean is actually printing now, which is a good start, I guess you could say. Let's see, are there any other losses? I'm really trying to think. I mean, to me, I guess something could be considered a loss if I choose to send it to Florida instead of keeping it in New Jersey, at least for the time being.
It goes
But
into
that doesn't.
collection B, not collection A.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's like a loss. It just means I don't feel like I'm going to play it enough to keep it up here as opposed to playing it down there. So like I sent Alter Quest down to Florida, but that's because you can solo Alter Quest. Like I'm not going to be really be playing a solo game up here. I don't really know anybody yet in Florida to like invite them over and play board games. So I sent the game down there, but I feel like I'm going to like the game because it's a Street Masters creator game, so I know I like those style games.
Right.
But it's just like not it's either too big to fit up here at the moment with all the other games I've got, or it just doesn't like meet the cut for a game that I would play with my friends constantly up here. So I guess you could say that. I'm still waiting some of these games I'm still waiting to play for like the fixes that are coming out. So like as of right now, Who Goes There is probably like tipping more toward the loss side because the base game has some rules that are a little rough. But the update pack that is coming out soon looks to fix almost every issue that I had with the game. So it might tilt it back into the win. So I do have some things like that. But I don't know. It's hard to disappoint me, I guess. I'm easily pleased with most things. So it's difficult for me to really consider something a straight up loss. Like there hasn't been much that I just don't like that I've gotten on Kickstarter. There
Yeah.
are things that I like more than others, but
Think the best thing I've gotten off of Kickstarter game wise is probably just gonna have to be the poker chips from Roxley. So those I use in economic games, aka Food Chain Magnate, but it's just so much easier than using paper money, and I think it's a good quality chip. And yeah, instead of just some cheap plastic poker chips, it's nice to have those iron clays, whatever they're
Oh
talking
yeah.
about.
And the cards are nice too, by the way, the ones that you grabbed for me, that you brought over. Those are nice. I like them a lot. The iron spades.
Oh, is that what they are?
There's, yeah, that's what they called them.
Hmm.
I think I mean, it's tough. The biggest wins, there are two. I mean, it's hard for me to pick, but the two biggest wins are either Mythic Battles Pantheon or Xia. So those both came off Kickstarter. I probably would say Mythic Battles Pantheon. I mean, I absolutely love that. So, but it's harder to get to the table than Xia is, even though neither of them are super easy. But yeah, those are probably my biggest wins in terms of like games themselves. So, yeah, I don't know. I've had good experiences with Kickstarter. I mean, it's an absolute money sink, but I don't think it's been. I don't think it's been a money sink that has completely wasted my money, I guess is the way to say it. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't feel like I've wasted my money backing the games that I've backed. Especially because with Kickstarter games, for the most part, you could sell games and make your money back. So
Right. There's always the hype that can be taken advantage of. Are there any, just before we close this out, any upcoming, not yet on Kickstarter games that are really on your radar?
Yes. I mean, the obvious one is apparently Mythic Battles Ragnarok is launching this quarter, and I mean that is an instant all in. And oh, where is it? I clicked the wrong button. There's a list, and I thought I had something that was in this list that I was interested in. It's not coming to mind right now, but I think the biggest one is Mythic Battles Ragnarok for sure. I have set goals for myself as well in terms of buying games, not quite as tight as what Jonah has set, but I'm trying not to buy as many things, so I'm trying to be a little more picky. So right now, Ragnarok is the only 100% definite upcoming game.
And so you've been eaten, right? Just to see
I
what the
only,
heck they're
okay.
talking about.
Yeah, I only want to see that game because I want to know what a zero player board game is. That's it. I don't even
Zero
know
player
what the
board
game is
game is
about.
watching other people playing board games.
Yep. That's it. That's my really big Ben's backings conversation. Throwback to for our original listeners.
That's right. Oh man, when was our last Ben's Backings? Like 30 episodes ago?
It had to be, I think they ended after like 4 or 5
All
episodes.
right. Well, next week we'll have some more substantive, is that a word? I think it's a word.
I think it's a word.
Discussion on board games.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Ben, you want to do the outro?
Sure. That does it for another episode of Jonah and Ben Play Board Games with Friends. Thanks as always for joining, and thanks to Louisa for the great music throughout.